So welcome to God in the Picture with Zibusa Elgunene. And you are tuned into Impact 103. We are impacting lives. We want to make sure that each and every conversation that goes behind this mic into your ears is one that will resonate with you, one that you can actually take and use and apply in your life. And that's why we make sure that each and every conversation is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the spirit behind every conversation is godly inspired. The time is 18:09 and I am not alone once more. I do enjoy being alone, but I enjoy it even more when I have someone that I talk to, someone that I engage with over and above you. You are always the VIP guest. And then once in a while, we bring in somebody behind the mic here in studio who's going to also impart some wisdom and some knowledge and some insights and some inspiration and even revelation from the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I have none other than Stephen. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey, Zibusa. How are you, man?
I'm awesome. I always enjoy our conversations, and I've said this before, and I do want to say it again, that they always leave me, you know, empowered, and searching for more. And I think a lot of the conversations we've had off air have been around men and how we as men relate to God. But the one that I want us to focus on is, especially being a young man today, the past two conversations we've had with Khutazo present. And tonight I just want us to also focus on a few questions around being a young man. But also, I think sharing that brotherly insight and knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us. So the first thing that I want to ask is, what does it mean for you today to be a man who is a protector?
And like, just before I start, I just want to say, you know, the conversations that we had, I think are inspired just by how much of an example you set, and just the perspective that you have. And I think one of the aspects of being a protector, and this is something that I'm trying to learn, just on a journey at the moment, is the ability to, being a protector, I guess would fall into many things. But one thing that you do definitely provide is that you provide a environment of safety, an environment of stability. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why our conversations can become so cool and in depth, because there's a security, there's a stability, there's a knowledge that knowing that engagement in this is going to be safe, engagement in this is going to produce fruit. You know, there's going to be some kind of wisdom behind it. There's going to be something good that comes out of it. So that's something that you definitely, that atmosphere that you provide, which is great. So maybe that can be one of the first parts of being someone who is a protector, is someone who provides that safety. But I think a lot of it as well is based on our character. And that's one of the biggest things for me as a young man that I'm trying to develop, is my character. And that's one of the biggest things that I've seen is necessary when it comes to your walk with God. Or one of the main things that are focused on in your progression with God is your character. And becoming more like Christ, becoming more like Jesus, who loves the church.
Yes.
You know, being able to lay oneself down for it, being able to guide it, being able to provide for it, being able to do all those things. So I think a protector comes a lot in one's own ability to control oneself, to take care of another, to not just have to worry about yourself, but also be able to have that outside perspective to look at someone else and be like, hey, listen, you know, I'm not the only one that matters. You're the one that matters. Being able to not be, being stable within yourself enough to care about someone else. Yeah.
You know, you say something very interesting, that being a protector also is also about protecting yourself. And I think that's one thing that we seldom focus on, if ever, that we as men need to protect ourselves. But what do you think we need to protect ourselves from?
Protect ourselves from? Sure. Something I was actually thinking about earlier today is the worldly aspect of being a victim. I was thinking, it's actually such a privilege for a man to lay down his life for another. Mm. It's such a privilege for a man to be able to protect, to be able to provide. And I think once one accepts a perspective that it takes away the ability or the privilege to defend, that's, I think, a part that can, yeah, I think that's something that can take away from manhood, a man's ability to be a protector and stand in his role, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, there's a perspective of, you know, you can stand back, you can be passive, you can be all these things. And I think it can be very comfortable to accept it, very comfortable to be it. A passivity.
Mm.
It can be very comfortable to become passive. But it's such a privilege for a man to be able to suffer, to be able to develop, to become stronger so that he can be a protector for someone else.
Wow, that's amazing. You're listening to Impact 103, and this is God in the Picture with Zibusa Elgunene, and my guest is Stephen. And I want to also now bring it into this aspect, the ability, that question around protecting, that it, now growing up, obviously you don't have a family yet of your own, and have you envisioned what it would look like for you to be a protector for your family in theory? Because sometimes we need to speak the things that are not as though they are.
Yeah.
Right. So in your mind and maybe in your heart, what would it look like to be a protector for your family?
Sure. I think when one develops a life for themselves, when one looks towards the future to say, hey, listen, this is the kind of life that I want to build. I go to gym because I want to develop strength, not just physically, but mentally.
Mm.
I aim towards a future because I want to be a father or a man that provides for his family and wants to create an atmosphere that uplifts and develops those within it, not hurts them, not leaves them with the insecurities from the past, from ourselves as parents. Being able to create those environments. So when I envision my future, or when I envision being a protector, I envision being someone who pursues a life that develops others. So yeah, that's basically how I would say it, because it forms protection inside that vision, if that's what you're asking.
You know what's interesting is that you didn't immediately go into the traditional protecting against other things, but it is more inward driven. And I think a lot of men don't think about it that way. It's always thinking about the harm that comes in, and you've articulated quite differently, and I like that, you know, you go to gym, you develop that muscle within yourself, but also spiritually. And I think it was Paul who said, exercise thyself unto godliness.
Yeah.
And prior to that, preceding that, he says, physical exercise profits little, but then exercise thyself unto godliness. Would you say godliness is also another form where the head of the household, once he has exercised himself unto godliness, then it enables him to be the protector? Because in that sense, he is submitted under the authority of Christ, and Christ under the authority of the Father, and then so it goes.
Yeah, and look, I'm in a, I think all men at my age right now, we're mostly in developmental processes, and I can just speak out of my understanding. But whenever like it comes to being a father or looking at Jesus or godliness, I would, you know, the past year, I think church has been one of the best developmental areas in my life, And the reason why I say that is because we've been in circles that actually go, you know, we always talk about these things, and women would often, they would give an example of, you know, what they would like a godly man to be, or they would kind of model, you know, this is what would make us feel safe kind of thing. Mm. And I've been able to see that over the past year. And what it develops within me is the desire, because I think becoming godly or becoming, look, we're made holy in Christ, right? Yes. There's no possibility we can be perfect. So he sanctifies us, he justifies us, he makes us holy and righteous. But the character development and being, having the strength, I think the process of going through that and becoming someone who is godly and who models Christ, I think that process is as strenuous or as strength requiring as what gym would be. Mm. It requires a mental resilience. It requires a mental bounce back, a mental determination. It requires a pursuit. It requires a commitment. It requires all those things. And that's, I think that is what keeps the family together. It's not just about the money. Because I mean, there's so many families that don't have much, but they're safe.
Yes.
They know that their father is able to protect them. They know their father is able to provide for them. They know that he has the best intentions, that even if he's faltering, there's a characteristic within them that they can trust. And I think it's stability. It's an aspect of stability that they're really looking for and that one can sense. So Zibuse, look, I am definitely not the expert here. I want to have your perspective too.
Don't worry. Look, I'm not looking for an expert. It's not about being an expert at the end of the day. It's about us being real. Yeah. And that's why we are basically not saying, hey, let us have the well-known, the most celebrated people, the experts in the field. But we're saying, let us have the regular guy on the street so that the other person who's listening now can also relate or even have some form of insight.
Yeah,
to what it means.
I can say that, like, there's so much that you constantly are aware of. Like, I think the closer you get to God, the closer you see, the more you see how much is wrong, the more you see how much bad there actually is. And I think oftentimes a man can find himself in a place of insufficiency completely. He's like, I'm not close to where I should be. I'm not close to where a provider is. I'm not close to whatever that is.
And that's where grace comes in. There's a story that I just want to tell quickly that's told by Bishop T.D. Jakes, where he says he was told a story by his mentor who says, if we are out in the sea swimming and we are headed to shore, and the shore is probably, let's say, 20 miles out, and I swim and I get tired along maybe, let's say, 15 miles from the shore, and I just give up from there. I haven't reached the shore, but I've just given up right there in the middle of the ocean. Mm. And then he says, you can swim up until 18 miles and 2 miles short of the shore. Mm. We have both failed to get to the shore.
Sure.
But the beauty of grace is that it sees us as if we've both
made it
to the shore.
Yeah.
And so even in our insufficiency, God said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yeah.
So that's why we must be weak. That's why we need to acknowledge our weaknesses. That's why we need to acknowledge our insufficiency. Because then if we were sufficient, if we didn't lack anything, what would there be a need for God or grace?
Absolutely.
And then I want to touch on, you know, a couple of things. Things like provision. Like, what does provision look like for you? And in most men tend to struggle with balancing provision.
Okay,
and
explain that.
Responsibilities.
Yeah,
because there has been this advent of women empowerment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's much needed. But what has happened is, with women empowerment, I always use the expression of a mathematical equation, or the metaphor, actually. where whatever you do on the left, you must do on the right.
Mm.
So women have been empowered, okay. But there has never been a concerted effort to say, young men, there is a different kind of woman who is now growing up, who is being raised, who is being emancipated, who is being empowered.
Yeah.
So that you can meet her at that point where both of you are almost on the same wavelength in terms of your understanding of each other and what each other need.
Yeah.
So now you have a woman who's being empowered and she finds a voice in business, in corporate, in society, and she's being celebrated for that. But now when she comes home and this is your wife and she now starts wanting to have the same voice carrying through into the home, but then you are still held up in your unupdated software.
Yes.
Where you are still holding on to your traditional views, your traditional aspects. So you want to then suppress her voice, and then there's always that discord.
Do you think it's natural for that to be the case, where they would meet each other on the same place? Do you think it's natural for them to be in the same sort of strength position? Or and with that, do you think it's then natural for a man to be intimidated by it?
Because of this aspect of provision, somehow men have this need to provide.
Yeah.
Nobody tells him.
Jesus died for the church.
Yes.
We are Christ in the family.
Yes.
Right? So we have that that privilege of being able to do that. That is, yes, exactly.
Exactly.
100%.
So we have that creation in us. We have that, yes, spirit in us that says, I want to provide.
Absolutely.
And now because you want to provide, and there she is, she doesn't need your money.
Yeah.
Because most likely she earns more than you.
What else do you think you can then provide in that situation?
And that's why such conversations are important.
Yeah.
Because once you realize where you lack, firstly as a young man, and then you come up in relying on God in your insufficiency, and then it gets to groom you and develop you, and you know that you are a king, prophet, and priest in the home. So you are now responsible for the emotional provision.
Okay.
You are now responsible for the spiritual provision, for the spiritual covering,
yes,
of your wife and of your children.
Yeah.
And when you then understand your role in that aspect, then the financial, yes, it will be there, but it won't overshadow your other capabilities.
You won't be sort of, and that's, I feel like that goes back to knowing just how, like the kind of environments the man can lead in, because he can either lead financially, or he can lead spiritually, or he can lead emotionally. He, yes, can lead in the vision for the family. He can lead in those different aspects. Do you think the emancipation, though, of the woman can sort of overshadow the aspects of the man leading to begin with?
If the man is correctly positioned
within himself?
No. If he's correctly positioned, knowing that it is God, it is Christ,
yeah,
and then he's submitted to Christ, and Christ is the one who leads him, then it is easier for him to be that kind of provider.
I feel like in that situation, there could be a kind of a power struggle between the two, because I don't think it's just the man that needs to be submitted. I think the wife also needs to be in the same mind.
Paul does emphasize that, that we must submit one to another. But oftentimes, most men are caught up in wives submit unto your husband, and then they only leave it at that. But Paul does refer to both submitting to, absolutely, each other. However, we also need to learn from Christ. We are submitted as the bride to Christ. And so there is first that submission to Christ, but the wife cannot submit to a man who is not himself submitted to Christ.
Come on.
So there's no authority over his life.
What does a submitted man look like?
That's a very beautiful question. It's a very beautiful question. He's a man who understands his identity. He understands his role. He understands where he is coming. He understands what love is. John 3:16 defines it.
And she'll feel that.
Yeah.
She'll experience that.
She'll experience it. Mm. And a woman is looking for a husband whom she can submit to. Mm. And if you as a young man know that if I'm submitted to Christ, what is expected of me is to have the willingness to die for my bride. Not that we will probably be called upon to do that because Christ has already done it. But we need to have that understanding that I am required to do this. And we are constantly giving because love is a giver. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And why did Christ die on the cross? Just to save.
Yeah.
And because he loves the bride.
Yeah. And you said that last week. Mm. You mentioned to KG and I that if someone claims they love you, but there's no giving, something's wrong.
Definitely.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So as usual, our time then has run out very quickly.
Come
on. Yeah. Unfortunately, that always happens when you're having fun.
Yeah, it does.
But yes, thank you, friend, for tuning in and listening in, because we are empowering each other. We are encouraging and uplifting, and we're also educating. And these conversations will always find their place in our hearts.